Hi, I'm Andrew Hyatt. I'm going to talk to you today about Emacs and AI and where things are right now in the world of Emacs and AI via large language models, and where things might be going, and what it means for the future of Emacs. And I think what we're seeing with Emacs is interesting. We've seen a lot of different things come around in the past several years. There's lots of different solutions. But in the past year, things have been very interesting. And I think there's new and interesting questions about what does it mean to use Emacs? What does it mean to use any editor? I'm going to be talking about Emacs, and I'm going to show you various Emacs packages as demonstrations of these ideas. But there's the general question of what does it mean to use any editor, not just Emacs? What does it mean to do work? And I think the industry in general is facing these challenges of, we don't really know where things are going to end up, but we do know the direction they're going. And Emacs is a reflection of that. And I think the answer for Emacs might be a little bit different than everything else, but I do want to show you what's out there so we could explore what are the possibilities of Emacs, AI, and generally how we get things done. Thanks, let's dive right into it. We're gonna start by showing you some things that are pretty well integrated, like that look a lot like what you see in Emacs and fit in with the kinds of editing that you normally do in Emacs. So this is just kind of like, it's well integrated. So we're going to talk about Copilot and Semext. Copilot is by Microsoft via GitHub, and Semext is just my personal demo, but they're both showing you, this kind of thing. Let's start with Copilot. Let's try out Copilot on just a standard bit of ELISP. We're going to write a Fibonacci function. Let's try out Emacs on a standard bit of ELISP. We're going to write a Fibonacci function. And you can see, like, as soon as we even start typing it, we get everything as a completion. So you can just press tab here and you've just completed a significant bunch of Emacs Lisp code. And it will do this no matter where you are. So pretty useful. And it will just keep suggesting things. And like, do you want to do this? I'm not sure, but like it usually is offering pretty reasonable things. So you could do this with code, of course, any code. You don't really even have to have a mode for it, right? That's kind of the beauty of AI, is that you don't need any Emacs functionality for this, except for Copilot. It doesn't need to know the structure of your code. It doesn't need anything except for the text itself and, you know, whatever AI integration that this is. We can look at, you can do the same thing with org mode. So we could say let's do a, spring cleaning. It's actually the fall, but still we'll say spring cleaning. And it'll start suggesting things that, maybe at first it doesn't really know what to clean up all code. It thinks I need to clean up code, but no, this is gonna be actual, clean hood over a branch. Yes. These are all really reasonable suggestions. You just keep going here. I'm going to demonstrate Semext, which is a package I have on New Alpa that is designed to integrate AI in a very Emacs-like way. And so what you could do is you could do a Semext search forward. So, the UI looks just like other Emacs commands, but you can search for anything. Like, there's really no way to express what I'm about to, what I'm trying to demonstrate in Emacs normal search commands. So you could really ask for anything. And it takes a little while, which is not Emacs-like, but everything else is sort of like, it's designed to be like Emacs, except way more powerful. You don't need any mode to be active for this. You just need, you just need the library and a AI provider of some sort, either locally or, your favorite cloud provider. Now we're going to move on to a different way of interacting with AI and Emacs. This way is less like the normal editing experience, so you lose some familiarity. However, it is in exchange, it is a lot more powerful. And there's a whole suite of these tools. I'm going to demonstrate GPTL, which is the most popular one, but there are many, and I think different people have their own preferences of what they like to use. We're going to try now something that is a step away from just editing, and we're going to, I'm sure using GPTL. There are several packages that are going to be doing the same sort of thing as I'm going to show you. GPTL has sort of become the most popular one, so that's why I'm showing that to you. But let's just highlight everything and say GPTL rewrite. And GPTL basically just has a few things. There's different ways of thinking about this, but with a few very configurable menus, you could do a large variety of things. So let's give rewrite instructions. Turn this into an iterative program instead of recursive. In ELSP, you really should not be using recursion. So we could say return to be ready. Do we accept it? Yes, we accept it. Or we could iterate and say like, no, that's not what we meant. We meant something else. You did something wrong. Please fix it. So this is all very powerful. Is this editing? Well, it's in the editor, and you could do this while editing, while deleting. You could be doing some sort of traditional editing, and then this, which is editing in the sense that it's in your editor, you might have to highlight some parts of the file and do things. But generally, you don't even need to, or you go to a spot and you say, put code at this spot. It's kind of like editing. I would say it's not exactly editing, but it's at least something that must happen in an editor, and it's well integrated into Emacs. It's, as you can tell, it used very sort of modern standard Emacs UI paradigms, and it's all written in ELSP. Everything is happening in ELSP here. So this is just very much an Emacs experience. It's just not exactly editing, because the thing doing the editing is the AI and not you. You're just kind of telling it what to do. Now we're going to go and look at a way of interaction that's even more powerful and even more disconnected from the normal editing experience. In fact, it's so disconnected that most people are using this without an editor. These are things like Claude Code, or the sort of open source equivalent, Aider. There's a few other things that follow this pattern as well. But it's very interesting in the sense that while you can integrate these with the editors, and I'm going to show you an Emacs integration, you don't need to. And that's not the way most people are using them. And I find it very interesting that sort of we're going back kind of full circle, where in the 1960s or 70s, we were using ed and from the terminal to edit files. But then we created editors, and that was a really good idea. It is a lot easier to edit files when you have an actual UI. But now it's 2025 and we're back in the terminal, and we're editing files through the terminal. And you know what? It's great. But I think it's even better with Emacs. On the other hand, it comes with some trade-offs, as you can see. as we will see.
Okay, we're gonna look at also code IDE, Adamax, last time I didn't show you all variants. I do want to show you ECE, which I think points to, it is a very similar tool in what it does, but does have a different and I think better type of Emacs integration.
All right, we're going to demonstrate Cloud Code IDE, which is one of three Cloud Code packages. It's a bit confusing. One of them will be demoed by another presenter at the Emacs conference, so stay tuned for that. Here I'm just going to give you a little taste of what these packages look like. So if we say Cloud Code IDE, it presents us with basically almost exactly what you would get when you're running this in a terminal. And essentially, there's a terminal interface. You could see that there's a vterm. But here we're going to say, in Scratch, we'll say what we want to happen. So you just say what's going to happen, and it's just going to do things in the background. It's not going to do things through Emacs. That said, there is an integration with Emacs so that it could do things like show you these nice EDIFs. And you know, my screen is not really wide enough to show you a really great EDIF here, but you can kind of see what it's doing. And you can see like, yeah, that looks good. And so you could say, yes, accept the changes. And if we, we just need to revert the buffer. And we can quit out of this. And we see that like, okay, it just did everything I asked it to. Like, is it everything exactly right? Well, you know, probably not. It's reasonable for a start though. But you could ask it to do anything. You could say, write a unit test for this, and it will. You could say, you know, write me a suite of functions like Fibonacci, and it'll probably do something reasonable. But you can see, like, this is not editing. There's nothing editing-like about this. That said, the editing, there is something that is editing, and that's you need to give it instructions. You need to tell it what to do. And what you could do is, you know, you could have like a project.org, and what you could do is you could have like functions. The way I've done things often is you could say something like unit tests for Fibonacci, and how do you spell Fibonacci? I don't remember. But then you could say that this is, you could clock it basically. And what I've done is you could add custom commands to Cloud Code, and you could just say, look, here's my org file, read it and do the thing that I'm clocked in as. And then you could write a bunch of instructions here, like, I like to use ERT for tests. Tests should, like, whatever. You should just say, you know, everything you need to kind of specify. You know, as you get to more complicated tasks, it's harder and harder to give it all the context that it needs for a task. And org mode is actually a pretty good way to do this. And so I find that this works pretty well. And you can even have it instruct Claude to just mark things done in your org file when they're done. And it knows how to do this, of course. So let's just plug out. So that's one way to do things. So one other thing I'd like to show you is ECA, which compared to Cloud Code, ECA is it's open source. It's very nice in that respect. It doesn't have to use Anthropic's models. You can use local models, but It has the advantage of integrating very well with Emacs. I'm not going to demonstrate it because it works essentially the same thing. You could do approximately the same kinds of things you could do with Claude Code, is you just write what you want to happen and it will make it happen. And it, again, does not do this through Emacs. But what it does do is it gives you a much better Emacs interface that's not terminal-based, because it's you're not using it through the terminal, or not even through comment. You are using it through a backend that is exchanging structured information with this process that is doing all the work. But other than that, it's the same model as Claude Code and, you know, projects of that nature. So, we've seen in the demos that I gave that there are AI experiences that are very natural in the world of editing, because they, like Copilot, just offers completion. It fits very well with what we all do in Emacs. And it's truly, yes, it's kind of a cheat in a sense for editing experiences, because it can do so much, but it's just editing. Whereas things like GPT-EL and those kinds of tools, they are clearly in an editor and using editor, they're using Emacs, but they represent sort of like, well, you can edit for a while, then you could use these tools to do something that is not editing, this AI just changing the buffer for you. And that's fine. It's still, it may not be editing, but it's still clearly something that is useful to do in Emacs and belongs in Emacs. But the new tools like Claude Code and things like that are kind of different. Yes, they will get better at integrated with Emacs, but it's not clear that they really need to. They can do a lot of things without editing. In a sense, editing is obsolete in some sense. For many tasks, you don't need to edit anymore. And that's a, you know, that's a nice thing. No one really knows when all this will end, how far things will go. It could be that, you know, in a decade or so, no one's really editing for work anymore. Maybe you're just writing instructions. You could do that with anything. You don't need Emacs or any special editor. We could all be using Notepad. That would be bad. But I think it could be go that far. But it could be that, well, for many specialized things, people are still using editing for certain tasks, but most tasks are getting fed to just AI is just doing those things. In any case, I think it's clear that editing is diminishing, the need for editing itself. And in such a world, it's interesting to think where Emacs is headed, especially in relation to all the other editors. I think people will use Emacs less, but I think other editors like VS Code may simply disappear or be a relatively fringe tool. And Emacs is gonna follow its own path. It's very extensible, it could do anything. If there's one thing Emacs can do, it's adapt. And Emacs has been around for a long time. And it's pretty clear that Emacs will be around for a long time. And it might be that in the future, editing is some sort of like an artisanal activity that we do. It's kind of weird to think about it. It's not like baking bread. But it is the sense that like AI might be churning out code the way, you know, the factories are churning out bread. But if you really want the good stuff, you'll have to do it yourself. And I don't know if it'll be exactly like that, but it could be that Emacs survives and thrives in a very kind of specialized ecosystem of people who contribute and use it in the way it has survived and thrive right now. And I think that's a really nice way for all this to end up. I mean, there's the whole sense of how society will end up if all this happens. I don't know, but Emacs will be there for us when whatever happens. So thank you, and let's help make Emacs the best it could be to survive and thrive in the next decade.